Hope is the thing with feathers.
Hope is the thing with feathers.
That's like a bird.
Like a bird.
That perches in the soul.
That perches in the soul. Welcome to the Thing with Feathers podcast, a podcast about birds and hope. I'm your host, birding enthusiast, Courtney Ellis. Welcome back to the Thing with Feathers podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Ellis. So delighted today to have one of my favorite bird photographers, and I will say probably my favorite bird photographer of India, who brings us beautiful birds from India, Mohit Mehta, with us today on the show. Welcome, Mohit.
Thank you very much, Courtney. Very good morning to all the listeners and to you. So I'm very happy and excited to be part of this podcast. So I'll try my best to tell you about my experiences as a birder in last decade. So mostly I've spent my birding days in India only. So we'll look forward to tell about my experience while doing bird watching in India.
Thank you so much for the gift of your time. We will link to your Twitter or X or whatever that platform is. We'll link to it in the show notes so people can see your beautiful bird photos up close. But before we get into all of that, tell us about yourself. Tell us about you.
So I am Mohit Mehta. So I am staying in, natively I am from a state called Punjab. A little hometown is Abohar, which is close to the Pakistan border area. So after that, I am living with my parents over here in Gurgaon, which is the Delhi capital region, Delhi NCR. So from last like 9 years, mostly I have been in NCR. I worked as a data scientist in United Health Group. And what about birding? From last decade, I have been birding in mostly in India. There is very less exposure which I have bird watching overseas. But I like to be... mostly every weekend there will be one day that I will go out and see the birds. So if I am not out on the trips, I am mostly in the field on the weekends. Just I like to see the birds again and again in every season. Like I also want to keep the record which one has come during the winter migration and which has not come. So this gives me a moment of happiness that this bird again made it to this year to my place. And I am fortunate to see that.
Migration is such magic, isn't it?
Yes, migration is seriously magic. And I can definitely see this would be the best phenomena on earth that I have witnessed as of now. So I read one book on migration as well. I think it was by Scott. So I was in tears when I read about the migration of bar-tailed godwit. So I have read that chapter like 5 or 6 times myself. And then I also told that story in my office to my wife as well. And they were totally spellbound, like what they did, what they do basically on their migration journey. They have to get deprived of their organs and then put all their energy into those flying muscles. And there will be times that they have to give their life as well, just flying, and then they have to leave, lost their life as well. So migration is definitely one of the best phenomena, I would say, on earth. And how birds achieve them year on year, that is totally astounding.
It is absolutely astounding. I'm a parent. I think you're a parent as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So I have two daughters.
Whenever I go on a hike with my kids and they complain, I'm like, do you have any idea how far the birds go? You can make it a mile. You can do it.
Yeah, that is a good way of motivating them. I can definitely try it my home as well. So I have two daughters. One is 5.5 years old and another one is 1.5 year old. So 5.5 year old, she doesn't have much interest, but I am confident that the younger one will definitely take some interest because... like in Hindi, in my native language, we say bird as a chidiya. So when we say bird, there is a bird. So in my native language, they say that chidiya. So basically, and she at like 1 year of age, she started recognizing the sparrow as well. She can say sparrow. So I am hopeful that she will be able to join me on this journey. And later on, I think elder one will also get interested into the photography, otherwise not in the, if not in the bird watching.
How did you get started as a bird photographer? It turns a free habit into a very expensive one very quickly.
So I would say, Courtney, I still prefer myself to be a bird watcher first and then the bird photographer. So for me, there will be like, people say that it happens to them sometimes, but I can say to me, it has happened many times that I have forgot to click the bird and then I keep watching them through my binoculars. So that is how it started like 9 years ago. There was a friend in my office and he told me that, Mohit, you are an early riser. Let's go for a walk in the national park. So we went to Surajpur Bird Sanctuary, which is in Noida, Uttar Pradesh. It also comes in the National Capital Region. So we went over there and then I can still remember my first bird which I saw was grey-headed swamp hen. I was totally awestruck that what colors it was having at that time. And then he showed me the sarus cranes and he told me that they are mate for the life. If one of them die, the other one will die of starving. So I was totally fascinated with the world, and then how it started. Then I started going by myself. I just purchased one binoculars, and I was not having the camera at that time. So I used to enjoy with the binoculars and whatever pointers I could note on the notebook. I used to note. And then come back and discuss with people to get the ID confirmed for the birds. Then I invested in some small camera. But then with the time, I started to see that the birds which I see on the weekends are mostly the same birds. Like after one time, it's very, very rare to see a rare bird in your region. Like where I live in Gurgaon, if I see the eBird checklist is 340 and I have already seen around 310 birds out of that. So then it becomes, then I started photographing the birds, and now I also like to videograph them to understand their behavior, see their behavior. So that is how it went into the bird photography mode. But still there are many days where I would lead a bird walk for the team and I will not be having the camera. And there are also many a days on my trips as well where I used to pay for staying and do the bird watching. I will do the bird watching without my camera and just have a binoculars in my on the harness and then do the bird watching.
There is something about the purity of that experience when it's not mediated by a camera. It's just you and the birds, and you're not thinking about getting the right shot. You're just experiencing it.
Yeah, actually the thing is that seeing a bird through viewfinder of camera is different seeing a bird through binoculars, because binoculars definitely have a very good zoom, and glass is also a good quality. And then with camera, sometimes definitely we are human beings, we get distracted that we also need a good shot, we also need a in focus shot. So all these things happen. But to me, watching a bird through binocular and experience that thrill is definitely, I cannot explain in my words.
Yeah. So tell us about the birds of India. Take us on a tour. Start where you are, right there near the border with Pakistan, and take us around where you've been for the birds of India. I know next to nothing about the birds of India. So take it down to the level of about a kindergartner here.
So first I will tell you about the habitat that India offers. So the thing is that the placement of India is very nice when it comes to the migration. So the birds who follow the Southeast Asian flyway, so there comes a one place which is a very good stopover site for them, which is India. And now the place where I live, it's Delhi NCR. Now, if you see the geography of India, there is a whole Himalayan range starting from Nepal to the northeast side of till Arunachal. So the height is so much that not every bird can cross over it. Like you must have seen the stories of this ruddy shelduck and bar-headed goose, who are two known birds which fly very high and they are known to cross the Himalayas. But that is not possible for each and every bird. Because it's very tall mountain and then air and all those things happen. Air is very thin and all these things happen and then it's very difficult to cross. So now what happens? The canopy is built. On one side we have Delhi, the other side we have West Bengal. The bird will enter into India through West Bengal or through Delhi. So Delhi being at the place where mostly the bird which is in passage pass through Delhi. So Delhi becomes a very, very one of the best region to saw the birds in migration in India. And apart from that, if I talk about starting from top, we have Trans-Himalayan Range, which is the Himalayan desert. So that habitat we have in Leh and Ladakh. So that is part of Jammu and Kashmir. And then we also have Valley of Kashmir, where the garden birds, like what you see, brambling and chaffinch over there, pine bunting, yellowhammer, which are very commonly seen in your subcontinents, we get to see them in Kashmir only. So if you have to see a yellowhammer, if you will search on the eBird, the only hotspot which will come is the Kashmir. And the tawny owl, which you guys see, very common over here, there, right? So only Kashmir in India, you can see the tawny owl. So, and then comes the Leh Ladakh region. So Leh Ladakh region is very interesting region. It's a desert in Himalayas. So it shares its plateau with Tibet also. So it's a Tibetan plateau as well. So we get to see very high altitude birds over there. There are around 40 species we get to see over there. And the majestic snow leopard sighting in winters is one of the best thing which Ladakh offers. And now if I come down, we divide the region into two parts, one being the Western Himalayas and second being the Northeastern Himalayas. So Western Himalayas, we have one key state, Uttarakhand, where most of the birding happens, like around 560 or 600 species of Indian list, which is around 1260 or 1280 total birds you get in Uttarakhand. So with the tourism and with the roads very good maintained in Uttarakhand, you get a lot of birding hotspot. And there are so many beautiful places where you can enjoy this sal forest, the tree, basically the long trees, and then you can enjoy. Like I went to a foothills place, Pilibhit. So it's in Uttar Pradesh. So it shares its border with Nepal. So I was totally in love with the grassland of that place. The grassland is very good because I can see like all Indian native trees being over there. And which gives the very good habitat. Because in India also now, I can see with the societies and with the urbanization coming, people are not growing these native trees. So it's very difficult to find the native trees in India now. Even at the parks and everything, they are going for the ornamental trees. So that was a very beautiful grassland and amazing 6 or 7 types of woodpeckers I got it there. And that too in huge number. It's not like 1 or 2. It was 10 and 15 is the count in one morning session I was able to count. So apart from...
Do you have a favorite bird when you think about your travels through India? Is there one bird that stands out?
So far, the bird which I want to see is the Western Tragopan. So I really love that bird and it's the elusive one as well. So as of now, what people say is that you have to do a 7 days of stay in Great Himalayan National Park, which in itself is a very tough place to stay because conditions are not very good over there. You don't get the homestead and you have to do a camping and then you have to cook food and everything inside the jungle only. So I have not done that, but I want to do that. And I want to see that elusive bird, Western Tragopan, definitely.
That would be a commitment. 7 days cooking food in the jungle. Yeah. You got to really want to see that bird.
Actually, when we are seeing, looking for those birds, no, there will be days when we forget about food. And in the night, we will be feeling tired. And then next day again, we have to kick up and then go looking out for it.
Mm. It's a passion that really takes hold of you, isn't it? Like, you forget to eat, you forget to sleep. You're just like, this is the thing that I'm seeking after. It's like a treasure hunt.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it keeps us moving as well to see new and new birds. Actually, when I was like at 5 or 6 years in this thing, so I used to run after the numbers. I will be very open on that I have also chased the birds. I have also chased the numbers. I was also in that rush that I should be on the top of the list in India and all that stuff. But nowadays, I seriously don't see how many lifers I got in a trip. So I definitely try that I get to see the new birds. But I'm also happy seeing the older ones again and again, because I am finding a new way of connecting with nature. Like, I have started studying about trees, butterflies, and I will definitely like to grow my knowledge about these insects and amphibians now, apart from birds. So just another dimension I want to explore. Trees, definitely, I love trees from my childhood. So I know some of the trees' name, but there was no knowledge available with me. And even the literature was very less at that time. So awareness was not there. I was not able to learn more about them. But now I definitely want to learn about trees and also the butterflies.
I love that your birds are kind of a gateway toward more exploration of the natural world. I'm finding that's true for me too. I am not that interested in trees, but often to find a bird, you have to know what kind of tree it will be in. So I'm forced to learn more about trees. And as I learn more, now I'm discovering, oh, trees are amazing. And now I'm interested. It's a gift.
It happened like this only. So around 3 years ago, I attended one bird count. It was for the Himalayas bird count. So there is one guy, Peter Smitak, in India, who has done the extensive research on butterflies and conservation. So one can definitely say him that butterfly man of India. So he mentioned this thing he was guest of honor over there. He mentioned that if some of the birds you want to see and you're not able to see, then you should write a letter to the forest department. Tell them, guys, we want to see this bird. So please plant these trees. Because he was definitely emphasizing what you are also saying, that we need to have the habitat. The birds will definitely come. So that is the hope. That is the hope that birds will definitely come. And I have seen also, it's not like that I'll tell you an example as well. In my nearby, I used to see a bird named Indian courser. It's a very beautiful bird. It's a ground bird. So I don't know what affectionate and love I have with that bird. I have been seeing them from 2015. So they come to my region every year just for a span of 2-3 months. They breed over here and then they move. So this is the first year I have not seen them, because there is a major grassland piece which has been converted to industrial space over here. So this happened like 4 years back. So there was one grassland and people because they give the eggs on the ground only. People were taking car inside the agriculture field to get a close-up shot of them. And then they scared and then they moved back. So like for 10-15 days, there was not sighting of that bird. Now, after a couple of weeks, when everybody started saying there is no sighting of the bird has been harassed, the bird has been moved and all that stuff, I went back in the field with the hope that I will definitely get to see the Indian courser today. So I went over there and I was standing at the same place where I see it, and then it has laid its eggs. And just in 5 or 10 minutes, it came with the chick. and posed for me like 15-20 minutes in front of me. And let me take all photos from all the angles at that time. So I definitely feel that if we believe that bird will come, bird definitely comes for you.
And you can't find what you're not searching for. Like, you've got to be out there. You had to go out. You had to be in the field. You had to be paying attention. I think so often we're moving so fast and we're not paying attention. And it is that act of seeking that's such a fun part of birding. And sometimes you find the thing you were seeking, and sometimes you find something totally different, and sometimes you find nothing. And those are not the best birding days, but we all have them.
Yeah, we all have them. And the thing is that I'll tell you next recent example on this thing that not having the good birding days. So I'll tell you a story which has recently happened to me. So I was in Ranthambore National Park last week. Actually, my sister came from Germany after 2 years, and then she insisted that let's go out for outing. So I booked safari in Ranthambore National Park, which is the best place to see a tiger in India because the density of tigers is very good over there. So we booked a zone once. There are 10 zones in the park, so we booked the safari in zone one. So zone one, if you will ask any people, no, he will say that the maximum chance of seeing a tiger is zone one. Okay. Now we went inside the zone one. Okay. Now it is the smallest zone, and smallest zone has the 3 or 4 tigresses in that. And one of the tigress has given the cubs, which were just 4 or 5 days older. So we were excited. We want to see them. And then when we enter the park during the safari time, when we reached at some point that after beyond the, we were expecting the tigress would be there. The path was closed by the forest department. So like I spent like 9,000 for the safari, for this particular safari to see a tigress with the cubs. So I was feeling very low about it. But then I thought that no problem. There might be some reason that we will come to know later. So let's see. I was also feeling bad that at least forest department should give me my money back, or they can declare that the path is closed. We cannot allow you ahead. Simple. No problem. The safari won't happen. It's okay. But they didn't do it. So what I did the same day, I told my guide. My guide was also like, sir, today we are not going to see anything because this path is closed. We were expecting excellent sighting to spend 2-3 hours over there, but nothing now happened. So then I started seeing the other birds, which one were there. I was just photographing them and videographing them, showing my family what other birds are there. And then we start talking about trees. And came to know that guide is having a very good knowledge about the trees. So I spent like 2 hours understanding the trees. And then I came back. Now I'll tell you what happened. While we were exiting the sanctuary, a person told us that the tigress who has given the cubs has lost her cubs in last 2 subsequent years. Consecutively, she is not able to raise her cubs. So this year, department is taking a special care of her cubs so that she is able to sustain them and give them a happy life. So I was very happy after that. I was shocked by the initiative, that I definitely appraised their initiative, that they have blocked the path just to so that tigress is feeling safe about her cubs. So sometimes on the good days, we later on realize that it has happened for good. So if we find something will be definitely be good, then definitely we will come up with something good in the bad birding days as well.
Yeah,
it was amazing. So people used to say that you only get to see the tiger. So I'll tell you, I see a tiger. I see a sloth bear. I also see a leopard on the last day. It was sleeping on the banyan tree.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so fun.
And all this has happened because of the birds. So she's new to the wildlife. And then we went inside the park, and then I saw a Savannah nightjar roosting on the tree. So Savannah nightjar is a very toughest nightjar in India to see in the daytime. Even in the nighttime, it's very difficult to see the Savannah nightjar. So it was roosting. So she started saying, Mohit, if you are going to spend so much time on these birds, when we will see the tiger? I told her, see, in my 9 years, I have learned one thing. Appreciate what you are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't say that in future I will get this and I will then appreciate it. Because I don't know what will happen next. But this is happening now. So please enjoy it. So same way she understood the point, and the same way we got the dusky eagle owls over there. So it's not a common sighting to see a dusky eagle owl. And on coming back, Courtney, you will not believe me. I told the guide that show me the crested serpent eagle. Okay. So he said that, okay, sir, it will be found. It's a very common over here. When he was just turning the car, I saw a pug mark on the ground. I told him, this is a fresh pug mark of a tiger. So then he checked it, and then he was able to see that it was definitely a fresh pug mark. So then I told him that let's take a chance. It's already very dark over here, but we can take a chance over here. And then he found another pug mark. And then in just 2 minutes, we were able to see a male tiger in front of us. So
that's amazing.
That was really amazing. So crested serpent eagle turned into a tiger. So which everybody was looking to see. And then that tiger, we had a pleasure of sighting, seeing him. So he came to the pool of water. He drank the water. And then he sit in that pool of water for us for like 15-20 minutes. We had a happy sighting, and then we exited the park.
So, the story has a very good ending. It has a good beginning and a good middle, but that tiger at the, I mean, you can't beat it.
Yeah. So the key takeaway would be, my key takeaway would be that whenever you are in wild, whenever you are in nature or in wild, appreciate what you are getting. I can understand people can have different motives that they are spending so much of their money. So they want that I should be getting 10 lifers out of this trip or 15 lifers out of this trip. I feel that one or two lifers here and there doesn't matter. So you should be having the fun, filling experience, and the journey you should enjoy. Because whenever next time you will come, definitely with the industrialization we are having in India, with the boom we are having in the GDP, the habitats are not going to be staying same like we are enjoying today.
I was going to ask about that. How are the conservation efforts going in India? Because I know with such a big season of growth, it has to be hard to protect things like wetlands. And
so side by side, conservation efforts are also going. So they are declaring a lot of wetlands as the protected spaces. But still, I would say the more awareness is needed. So that's why this year, eBird, in partnership with Cornell Lab of Ornithology and Bird Count India, so they have built a very good report. So whatever data and checklist we have submitted, they have come up with State of Indian Birds 2023 report. So they have highlighted that how many species are declining and what are the reason. Basically, they have given a lot of action points to the forest officials and the conservationists who can work on them and then make some good effort to save the birds and their habitat.
Is birding a popular hobby in India, would you say?
No, I don't. People are increasing, but still I would say birding is not that popular hobby in India, like how US has so many of birders. But India doesn't have so many of birders. But it is a budding thing that people are coming to this space for photographing. Actually, it happens like with the time, like guides are increasing. So people say they can earn good money out of it. They can have a homestay and then their whole family can earn out of it. So that way, it's increasing day by day. But still, the adoption rate which we have in US and in other countries, that is not there in India as a
whole. Mm-hmm. I would say it's not as popular in the United States as it should be. I look at, you know, videos of football stadiums and all, you know, football is the thing. And I'm like, y'all are missing out, you know, y'all need to get out of the stadium and into the bog. Go see what's at the bog. We're working on it. We're working on it.
Yeah. It will definitely increase with the efforts we are putting.
Yeah. I love your perspective on the, it's not what's going to happen next, it's what's happening now. And I think, you know, I'm a parent and I work and all of these things that are going on, it makes it really hard to live in the moment like that. And that's one of the gifts of birding, is it almost becomes this spiritual practice where you are really present to yourself and to the tree and to the bird in a way that's really restful and restorative.
Yeah. So it feels like a meditation world to me when with the birds or with the trees and with the habitat. So there is a certain connection that is built that we forget about phone calls, WhatsApp alerts, Twitter alerts, X alerts on the phone when we are in field. And I'm also happy that most of the places in India, in national parks, there is no network coverage. So we don't get the we don't get the mobile network. Even when I went to Ladakh last year for 10 days, there was 4 days where only government network is available, BSNL. Apart from that, no network comes in that region. So that too, like they have a time period for like 12 to 5 in a day, the network will come on that number. And after that, there will be no network. And that too, you can only make the calls. You cannot do browsing, internet and all that stuff. You cannot do. So I would say that...
Oh, but you can call. So if there's like, if you get bitten by a snake or something, you can call. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, this is good.
Yes, yes. You can call. But people are getting advanced also now because near to the birding hotspot, they're building their homestays as well. And then they use walkie-talkie for the communication with the local people. So those things are getting improved. And then that is the way people are adopting these days, that one local person should accompany you when you are into the remote place so that he can call for some help if needed.
Mm. Do you see tourists getting themselves in trouble because they don't take a guide?
Yeah, it happens. But the cases are very less. Usually in the national park, guides are encouraged. And also different states are coming up with their rules, like they have to mandatorily take the guide. Like in any safari, if you are going to do any wildlife safari for any mammal watching, definitely you have to take the guide from the department. Otherwise, they will not allow it because it's not safe as well. Because if you are coming for the first or second time, you don't know the rules.
Yeah.
So it's important that you have a local with you. That is how I also do whenever I am traveling to northeast side or I am traveling to Western Ghats in Goa or in Kerala. So I take a local guide over there. See, it saves the time as well. Because when you will go, you will inquire the place. And they know the place. And what they help, basically the help is that, like if you say, you go to them with some set of lifers. Like you said that, I want to see this bird. So at least 60-70% they will be able to quickly do it for you because they know the spot. So birds are very habitual to come to the spot. So they will definitely come back to you. So that's why I say that guides are also important to the ecosystem of this whole tourism and bird watching ecospace. And I'll tell you where the guides play an important role in this. See, I am staying in Delhi. Guide is staying in Northeast. He can do the bird watching over there on daily basis. I cannot do. So he can report what bird is being seen on daily basis over there. So he can contribute to the data more than me. He can take care of nesting sites more than me. So I see guides also play an important role because they will be the person who will be telling us that this bird has arrived in their region. You can come and see it. So for the business, they will say this has arrived, you can come to see it. But if you see the flip side of this, they are basically reporting the bird has arrived in India, that this year the migration is success. So that person, that bird has again come. So I feel that they also play a very important role in the whole ecosystem of this bird watching.
For sure. And if you're not from the area, you don't know, like you said, you don't know the dangers, but you also don't know, you know, which particular set of bushes you're most likely to see this bird in. So I think people sometimes are hesitant to pay for a guide, but in the end, it will often save you time. It will save you money. It will save you frustration. And it helps the local economy. It helps the local birding community, which is tremendous. Yes.
And these days, these guides have also come up with like wholesome package. So what they do, basically, they give you the per day rate, like the lodging, guiding, vehicle, and all three meals with the mineral water included. They come up with one cost per day for you, and then they include everything in that. So that is very economical as well. So if you want to share the vehicle with someone, then also they can give some quotes to you. So that way they are very innovative these days. So they know, at least with the time, they know that how to get the customer also satisfied with them, with their service. Mm. So they know very much in India now that how to mint the business also from the bird watchers.
Mm. Well, we talk about birds on this podcast, and we also talk about hope. So that's a question I ask every guest is, where are you finding hope these days?
Okay, so if you want to ask about hope, I can share you a recent incident which has happened to me. So I went to Darjeeling in March, and I had a slip disc over there. So after that, I was advised for 3 months of bed rest at my home. So I was very frustrated with the pain I used to get on daily basis, and then I cannot go out and then cannot do my daily courses properly as well without pain. So I used to sleep in the room where in neighbor I have a tree. Local language we used to say it Amaltas. So it has it is also known as golden shower tree. So it has a very good, very beautiful plumes in the month of April to July. They are fully laden with the yellow flowers. So I was sleeping late in the morning. At around 8:30, I heard a couple of calls, and I was able to identify their oriental white eye. So I came out, and then they were there. Four or five fellows, Indian white eye, were there. So I was very frustrated at that time because I was not able to move. I was not able to do daily courses. So I was frustrated that how this has happened to me. And then the condition is so difficult that I cannot stand without the pain. So I have to be on other people's support. But those few birds on one day, they gave me alarm. So I came out and see them feeding on that golden shower tree. So I felt very happy to see them because it was time that 1.5 months I have not seen any bird. So I was missing that part of me, and they gave me the hope that I can wake up in the morning and come out in the balcony and see them on daily basis. So for next 3 months, I used to see them on daily basis. They will come 8:15, 8:20 in the morning and stay there for around an hour. And then in the same time, other birds like common myna, Echiprinia, bank myna, and other birds will also join in the same tree. And I seriously enjoy that time. I will not feel any pain in that time in 1 hour. I used to sit on my tree and have a cup of green tea with me and just look at them, do nothing at that time and just watch them. So they gave me hope a lot that I can also feel better in this time. So that was the time that I again connected with my backyard birds, and then I started counting them again. So I can now easily count 20-25 species out of my balcony on any day, that these many birds are definitely there. So they definitely bring the hope to me. And also, there are many stories which you have heard, like Kingfisher story. You would have also heard that bullet train design is inspired by Kingfisher. So they definitely give us hope. And for me, it's like a meditation whenever I have a stressful day in office. So since my office start around 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. India time, so I have a good morning time to spend in nature sometimes. So I usually walk up early and then have a 2-3 hours in the nature. I can go to the Sultanpur National Park, which is just like 25 minutes from my place. And there is one more wetland in outskirts of it. So that is how I get a hope from the birds, that to keep the things moving and keep the stress aside. And then how I can be submerged in their world so that I can forget all about my stress and pains and weak points.
I'm so sorry for your injury. How's your back today?
Back is good. I'm feeling fine from last couple. After mid of September, I started my trips. So I went to Gujarat, my first trip to Gujarat to see the passage migrants. So there are 9 passage migrants. I covered them all. And then I recently been to Ranthambore National Park as well. And next month, I'm going to be Northeast Himalayas. I'm going to Arunachal Pradesh. There is a place called Mishmi Hills, where we get to see the Sclater's Monal. Only place in India where you can see the Sclater's Monal. So I'm just hoping to see it in November.
Oh, that's exciting. We will watch your Twitter and see if you see it and can share it with all of us.
Yeah, definitely. I have started writing my travel logs on X these days. Earlier, I used to write the blog reports as well, but with the time constraint, I write it in my mobile. I definitely have all my trip reports with me, but not that formatted, so I have not posted on the blog. But now I have started writing small travel logs on X that I can just post that what I have done on today in my bird watching trip.
They're great. They're bite-sized. They often have great photos that accompany them. So everyone listening, I just encourage you to find Mohit on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days, and check out those bird photos. And the stories of his travels, especially those of us who are far from India and may not be able to get over there anytime soon. We can live vicariously through your adventures.
Thank you very much, Courtney.
The Thing with Feathers is produced by me, Courtney Ellis. Many thanks to Del Belcher for the music, to Todd Peterson for the name inspiration, and to Emily Dickinson for the beautiful poem and for being in the public domain. Until next time, my friends, keep looking up.
What is it on your soul? Yes, it does.